Welcome to episode 73 of Life with Mitty. This episode, we talk about our recent experience with Tesla's new mobile tire service truck that brings tire repair and replacement directly to you, either on the road or at home. Also, we'll discuss our experience with Tesla's CCS adapter and key things we've learned from those experiences in light of other manufacturers' vehicles getting bricked at Electrify America chargers. Well, recently I went to the doctor and picked up a nail on the way. When I got back to Mitty, the dreaded warning, tire pressure very low, pull over now, was already displaying. Good thing I always bring my air pump with me for just such an emergency. I was able to get home to assess the situation. The pressure continued to fall and I could tell there must be a puncture, I just couldn't find it. Since I had taken Mitty the Model 3 to a local location of a national tire chain in the past, I thought I'd return to that same store. I set up an appointment on their website and took the car there that afternoon. Unfortunately, they were convinced that they couldn't lift the Model Y like they had my Model 3 and didn't want to damage the battery pack. So, they aired up the tire again to get me back home. They were very nice, but not able to help me. On the way home, I thought, wait, why not call Tesla Roadside Assistance? They had helped me in the past with a puncture my Model 3 had several years ago. I turned off FSD and proceeded to park in a strip mall parking lot. It's easy to call Roadside Assistance. Just go to your car's service screen and scroll all the way down. You'll find Roadside Assistance phone number, and if you have your phone connected to your car, you can start the call with just one touch of the screen. If you are calling from the phone number you have in your Tesla account profile, Roadside Assistance will automatically pull the logs from your car. And while you're on hold, the automated voice will confirm that they see you have a flat. I selected option 1 for flat tire, and within 2 minutes was talking to a Tesla representative. The person was very helpful in assessing the situation and quickly offered to schedule me to the next available appointment for Tesla Mobile Tire Service. I paused and wondered. Wait, I had heard rumors that our local Chesterfield, Missouri service center would soon have such a truck, but I wondered how this would work. Would the truck have all the equipment necessary to mount, air up, and balance a new tire or patch my existing tire? Anyway, I agreed to the next available time, tomorrow between 9 a.m. and 1 p.m. He double-checked that I was able to get home, and I assured him I could. Once home, I started checking the Tesla app for an appointment to show in the service section. It wasn't until the next morning until I saw the appointment listed. Funny thing, it was listed as a service center appointment, but I knew it would be conducted in my garage. It was about noon when Joe, the Tesla tech, called to explain that he had 5 other appointments that morning and would definitely get to me today, albeit sometime in the afternoon. He asked if that was okay, and no problem was my reply. He said he would call when he was about 30 minutes away, and sure enough, the call came, and 30 minutes later, here comes a white Ford Transit van with Tesla service clearly displayed on the side. And not one of those little transits most of you have encountered from mobile service. This one was a 2022 Ford Transit 350 HD all-wheel drive cargo van extended length high roof dually with 11,000-pound GVWR. Inside was all the equipment necessary to repair and replace tires at home or on the road. The vehicle looked to be ready for 24/7 emergency service duty as well, with additional lighting and such. It also had a rack of loaner tires and wheels for every existing Tesla model, the complete sexy. Joe explained that Tesla has very stringent requirements for when they can patch a tire and when they require a new replacement tire. I was fine with that. I wanted the right thing done and no corners cut. He took one look and said, "Looks like the nail went in at an angle. You'll need a new tire." We both figured this tire would be at least $300+, as it was a 19-inch Pirelli Sato 03 winter tire. but I don't cut costs on tires. Sadly, Joe had checked with the service center before arriving and they had no 19-inch Sato 03s in stock. He would have brought it if they had any. So it was time to put one of the loaner tires and wheels on my car and take my wheel along for later tire replacement when the Pirelli got in. It was a 20-inch loaner wheel, but Joe assured me it was the right one for a Model Y and no issues since the tire was low profile. And as I drove with the loaner tire the next week, I had no issues either with the TPMS automatically recognizing it, and I noticed zero issues driving the vehicle. 7 days later, I got a call from the service center. They had just gotten my replacement tire in and could mount it on my wheel and bring it out that afternoon. Of course, let's do it. It was a simple quick swap, and then Joe checked tire pressures on all four tires before leaving with the loaner tire and us settling up. And the price for the tire? $265. $22 less than the price listed for the same tire on TireRack.com. That kind of blows that idea that Tesla tries to make money on tires. I fully expect to see Tesla roll out mobile tire service across the U.S. soon. It's another innovation that makes taking road trips in MIDI even less risky. This mobile tire service truck can come to your rescue and get you back on the road quickly. Coming up next, having the new Tesla CCS adapter means you can charge at non-Tesla DC fast chargers. But should you? The surprising experience I had that caused me to leave the adapter in the trunk for emergencies only. Back in September, I ordered the new CCS adapter from Tesla. While others had already bought one from third parties that resold Tesla adapters from South Korea or from several aftermarket manufacturers, I thought it would be best to have one made by Tesla for Tesla vehicles sold in the U.S. Now, I don't think there's anything different between the one sold in Korea and the one here in the United States. Yet, I don't take risks with DC charging. When we're talking about 480 volts and over 300 amps, I don't take risks with some aftermarket equipment. At least, that's what I thought. What I didn't notice on the shop.tesla.com site when I bought the adapter was the small link for the owner's manual. And when would we even consider to use an owner's manual with a Tesla? So when my adapter arrived without any getting started or warnings for proper use, I didn't think anything about it. I mean, how hard can it be? A couple of days later, I planned to try it out at the closest Electrify America charging station in St. Charles, Missouri, about 10 miles away from our house. For this first test, I didn't worry about preconditioning the battery or cared about arriving with a low state of charge. I just wanted to try it. Part of the challenge is picking a stall. The fact that this location had only four chargers, each with two plugs of a mixture of speeds and plug types, meant I had to survey the site before figuring out which one to pull up to or back into. I'm so used to using Tesla superchargers that this was a challenge that I didn't appreciate. After several tries, I succeeded parking next to a 150 kilowatt station and connected the adapter to the plug and then to MIDI. Of course, I then had to navigate the screens on the charger itself. I knew that would be the case, but it still felt weird. If I would have went to an EVgo charger, they now support plug and charge. As for Electrify America, this still isn't the case for Tesla owners. At this time, I noticed that the screen said that the charge session would be complimentary? Yeah, free. I didn't even need to use the Electrify America app. I simply pressed the start button on the screen. At 53% state of charge, I got 84 kilowatts. Not bad. To stop charging, I went to the charger screen to stop the charging session. So I planned another session. This time, I would get the SOC down to below 10% and also fake out the car to precondition the battery, as there was a Tesla supercharger less than a mile away. All I'd have to do is set the navigation for the supercharger. For my second charging session, I arrived with a fully preconditioned pack at 8% state of charge. Sadly, I wanted to try a 350 kilowatt charger to see if I could approach 250 kilowatts, the maximum for my car. I had to select a 150. And even more disappointingly, the best speed I could achieve was 126 kilowatts. And again, I used the charger screen to stop the charging session. So, I figured I'd come back again in a few days and hopefully be able to connect to a 350. 5 days later, I tried again. This time, I had about 22% battery and a preconditioned pack. I connected to a 350 and got a very disappointing 34 kilowatts. This time, I didn't stop the charge on the charger screen. Without thinking, my Tesla supercharger muscle memory kicked in. I pressed the button on the charger's plug. When I did that, several things happened very quickly. First, there was a loud noise from the charger. Second, there was an error message on MIDI's screen saying CP_A057, CCS cable button not intended to stop charging. Third, the charging screen became unresponsive and continued to display like electricity was still transferring to the car. I realized that I should report this to EA, so I called their support number and reported what had happened. The representative took note of it and didn't seem to care. I then plugged into another 150 kilowatt charger to check if MIDI had been damaged. Good news! DC charging was still working. I finished the session after a brief charge and then headed home. I had checked that DC charging was working. Now what about AC charging? Getting home, I plugged into my Tesla wall connector, which would normally charge at 11 kilowatts or 48 amps. Sadly, I saw the dreaded PCS_A019 message. Power grid or vehicle issue limiting AC charging. Unplug and retry. Try different charging location. I've seen that message before when MIDI the Model 3's PCS or power conversion system lost one of its three 16-amp inverters. And the most power MIDI would take was 16 amps, meaning two of the Model Y's three inverters in the PCS had been damaged. But why? The PCS is only used when AC power is provided, so it's not used for DC fast charging. All I can figure is that when I pressed the charger plug's button, the charger continued to provide DC power as I pulled the charge plug out of the adapter and that power found a ground in the PCS. Really, this could have been disastrous. What if I would have been more of a ground than the PCS in the car? I don't want to even think about it. So, I set up a service appointment with Tesla. Because the PCS_A019 message can indicate that poor quality power is being provided to the car instead of the car having an issue, they did ask if I'd tried another AC charging source. I then reminded them that this was the same wall connector that we proved to be good when MIDI the Model 3 had a faulty PCS. They then had me come in and sure enough, they tested the PCS and found it had indeed been damaged. Tesla replaced the PCS for free, covering the repair under the basic vehicle warranty. That is specifically what was on the invoice. It did not say Goodwill. After this, I searched to see if an owner's manual actually existed for the adapter. The message that appeared on MIDI's screen hinted that there was an approved way to stop charging other than the CCS cable button, and the prior two CCS charging sessions were successfully stopped using the charger screen. Sure enough, that's when I found the owner's manual on the order page for the adapter, and it includes the following warning. Read this document before using the CCS Combo 1 adapter. Failure to follow any of the instructions or warnings in this document can result in fire, electrical shock, serious injury, or death. To me, it was almost like the warnings that would go on and on about Happy Fun Ball. Look that up on YouTube sometime, Happy Fun Ball, and you'll enjoy an awesome parody commercial from the old Saturday Night Live. The manual also included the proper steps for unplugging. The first step is to stop the charging session using either the vehicle's touchscreen, the mobile app, or the charging station screen. And that's when I realized that I had messed up. Pressing the button on the charger's plug is not how to stop charging. So for those of you that have the CCS adapter right now, huge, huge reminder, don't hit that button. I'm not saying it's going to cause damage every single time, because I don't know exactly how the PCS was damaged, but I can tell you that charger was down for over a week before it was reinstated. Something bad had happened. Since then, I've left the CCS adapter in the trunk. And on Twitter, we've since seen several other manufacturers' cars reportedly get seriously damaged at Electrify America chargers, including a Chevy Bolt, the Ford F-150 Lightning, and the Rivian R1T. So while I think I was at fault for the PCS damage, it does make me wonder. And the fact that EA has no less than four manufacturers of their chargers since 2019, and it may now be even more, I'm only going to use CCS charging for emergencies where I'm too far away from any Tesla supercharger. I know the adapter will work correctly if I unplug following the owner's manual's procedure. What I don't know is how safe it is to charge my Tesla at a CCS charger anywhere. Hopefully, we'll learn more about the issues other manufacturers are seeing and either have Electrify America correct the issue or the individual manufacturers attempt to protect their cars during charging, including Tesla, improving their implementation to safely stop charging on the car. Yet, if the charger doesn't power down, there isn't much anyone, including Tesla, can do to protect the car. In any case, please be cautious if you're using a CCS charger with your Tesla, or even with your non-Tesla. I'd be careful. For me, I'm staying with Tesla superchargers. In 5 years, I've had 448 charging sessions without a single charging issue. I'm glad we can count on Tesla's charging network, and let's, for now, use CCS only when we have to. That's it for this episode. Love to hear from some of our listeners via Twitter at LifeMitty and via email lifewithmitty@gmail.com. And please check out my ever-growing list of audiobooks on Audible. Go to my profile page on Twitter and click the link to take you to a list of my books for sale on Audible. And if you DM me on Twitter and let me know which book you want, I will give you a promo code for a free audiobook. Finally, don't forget about teslavoice.glideapp.io. where you can access a list of over 190 Tesla voice commands, all tried out and verified by the Tesla community. And never forget to empower others. You'll never live life on empty, and I'll talk to you next time.